everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to this live edition of the Strang Report for Thursday, July 6th. I have a very special guest today, a very brave man, a very bold man. His name is John Amanchukwu, and he is from Raleigh, North Carolina. And thank you for taking time to be on my podcast today. I have seen you on Network News. We've interviewed you already on Charisma News. Someone told me that your views on YouTube are like well over a million. I mean, you are just like everywhere, and it's because of your boldness. And instead of me introducing it to my viewership, why don't you tell me what it is that you've been doing to get all this attention?
Well, first and foremost, you nailed my last name. Hats off to you. And so Amanchukwu means I know God. And I'm glad to say that at the age of 19, I surrendered to Christ and he redeemed me and covered me from all of my sins. So I travel the country speaking at school boards, doing what I call the heavy lifting, things that many pastors today won't touch with a 10-foot pole. Many of our pastors today, Stephen, have become weak and woke. They won't speak to cultural issues because they're more concerned with keeping their congregation happy, bringing in money, and making people comfortable. That's not the role of the pastor. The role of the pastor is to be a watchman. But watchmen are not simply called to watch. They are called to warn. And so I go to school boards warning school board leaders, warning parents, warning teachers of the tumultuous impact of cultural Marxism. Cultural Marxism is the name of the day. During Jeremiah's time, he had to contend with the Babylonians. But today we have to deal with the cultural Marxist. We have to deal with the mutilators. We have to deal with those who want to push race baiting and race hustling through education. We're contending with critical race theory. We're contending with these dynamics of division, be it whether you are vaxxed or unvaxxed, whether you are straight or you support the alphabet mafia, whether you are rich or poor, black or white. There are so many ways that we are being divided today. I recently went to a school board meeting and talked about this book right here. It's called Jack of Hearts and Other Parts. This book is in several high schools in North Carolina. I delivered that message about this book at Wake County Public School System. That video has gained over 10 million views alone. I have amassed over 150 million views with all of my school board messages around.
Wow. So that shows that you've really touched a chord, and you're absolutely right. Most pastors are timid and passive. Yes. And this has probably been true over the years. It's more obvious now that there's such a dividing line. And you talk about Marxism. You know, we could go into a long discussion about that. Marxism has always tried to divide classes. And we don't really have a class system in the United States, never had, like they would have in Europe many years ago or in places like India. So there's other ways that they divide us, mainly along the lines of race or income level. But yes, that's a discussion for another day. We just came through Pride Month. It was in the news everywhere. You couldn't get away from it. The whole thing with Bud Light and everything else, Target, and very, very few Christian leaders have spoken up about it. Now, I did a podcast recently with Lucas Miles, who is a bold pastor from Indiana, who's spoken up about wokeism in the church. But I'm concerned about the schools because there are books in the library that I've seen the videos. In fact, we're going to watch a video in just a minute to where the school board didn't even want you to read what the children could read. So yes, why don't we start with that school board, the most recent one, the one in Wake County there where you talked about the book that you just showed.
By refraining from loud comments or other disruptions, whether you agree or disagree, so that speaker may be heard. Our next speaker is John Amanchukwu, followed by Leah Carson.
Lindsay Mahaffey, you opened this session earlier on celebrating Pride Month. And so I brought a book that I read from about a month ago called Jack of Hearts and Other Parts to read, I guess, part two of a message entitled, Who Are the Perverts? The book says this. It says, eventually he finishes and pulls out. And the condom, of course, is covered in S-H-I-T. And he gets mad at me like it's my fault. I don't know about how to clean up down there. He makes me take the crap-covered condom off and flush it. And then he showers alone. When he gets out of the shower, he frowns at me and goes, you're still here? Anyway, here's my advice to you. Make sure you want to do it, because it's going to be uncomfortable at first, for sure. But it can be fun, too, even if you don't have a prostate. There are nerve endings and pressure. Just make sure you've taken an SHIT beforehand and cleaned after, preferably with soap and water in the shower, because if you gotta go while he's inside of you, it's going to come out gross. When you're ready to get F-U-C-K-E-D, use lots of lube, a finger first. Go slow. Make sure he's still focused on keeping you turned on too. It helps if you start out riding him face forward. Then you have more control over how deep he goes, and you can still communicate what you need. Once he's in, you tell him to just stay there for a while so you can get used to it. Then when you give the okay, he can slowly start effing you. If you don't like it, tell him to stop. If you decide to switch holes, use a fresh condom. And be prepared. Sometimes SHIT just happens. But if you take it slow, it can be really great. Is that what you celebrate, Lindsay? Happy Pride Month to what? Feces on condoms? Stimulating prostates, whether you have one or not? Is that what you condone? Is that what you celebrate when you acknowledge Pride Month? Be it known today that Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You can't laugh at him. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And the operative word is that. You sow this filth to children, Lindsay, and you're going to reap it. If you celebrate Pride Month and push this filth on kids, you're going to reap it. It's going to be more terrible for you because you are of age. You're adults. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. Tyler, you're going to reap it if you say nothing and only speak about the black issues. You're going to reap it, brother. Monica, you're going to reap it if you say nothing about it. And you know in the black culture, we don't even condone this stuff. We fight against it.
Our next speaker stand is for truth Leah and stand Carson, for what is right. Followed by Renee Seckel.
Wow. I mean, that's just unbelievable. What kind of response did you get?
Well, the school board leaders, they roll their eyes. They get angry. I've had one in particular. He walks out every single time I speak. What I'm seeing today in Wake County is that many of the school board leaders have hard hearts. So they have attempted to create a new process and policy for removing pornographic books. But what the policy has done, it has made it more difficult and stringent to remove these books, even to the point where they have appointed a committee where two students would be allowed to be on this committee and they would have to read the books themselves, which makes no sense. If you think the books are pornographic, if they're vulgar, just like the book that I just read, why would you elect two students to read the books in order to determine whether or not the book should be in the school system or not? We are seeing those who support special interest push their agenda upon children. It's indoctrination, you know, and I use that term often. I oftentimes call it grooming as well. But a more appropriate term for what's taking place, Stephen, is that it's mental rape. It's mental rape because it assaults the soul. It stains the brain. And it robs children of their innocence. And so we are in.
And it's also kind of normalizing this. You know, it used to be considered shameful. In fact, in our language, we called it being in the closet. So if people were like this, they hid it in the closet. I guess that's where the term came from.
Yes.
What prompted you to do this the first time? I mean, you're a powerful preacher. You're part of the Church of God in Christ. Your father-in-law is a very respected bishop in that denomination. And some of the most powerful preachers I've ever heard are in the Church of God in Christ, going all the way back to Bishop Mason. I know that group well. But a lot of them are quiet about this. A lot of them, at least the ones I know personally, are part of the Democratic Party usually. And they sort of look the other way. What prompted you to be different and to step forward?
Well, you know, I've been trained by what I call the best. Bishop Patrick Lane Wooden Sr. is my senior pastor. He's also my father-in-law. I've studied under him for the past 20 years. And the things that I'm doing today with going and speaking at school boards around the country, he was doing that in the early 2000s when this stuff was beginning to make its way into the public school system. And so there's nothing new under the sun. The enemy has just changed his framework and he's fighting even harder to win the souls of our children. You said something that's appropriate. You're correct. You're right. There are many Black preachers in the Church of God in Christ who are more Democrat than they are Christian.
And other groups too, not just that one. That was the one we were talking about.
Truly, I mean, but if we're going to speak to it, you know, and put our weight on it, we have to address the 800-pound gorilla in the room, which is the fact that the Black community, by and large, they vote for a political party that's antithetical to the scriptures. That's true. That's a fact. You know, and I'm not afraid to say it. I say it all the time. I believe that Blacks have become the cheap prostitutes of the Democrat Party. They screw us and barely pay us, and we keep coming back for more. And so,
you know, there was a day, I'm going to guess maybe around 1900, when there was not one Black person in America who was a Democrat. I mean, everyone was for Lincoln because of Emancipation Proclamation and all that. And the Democratic Party, and I say this as a person who, when I used to be a Democrat, everybody down here in Florida was a Democrat at one time. And the Democratic Party was different than it is today. The issues had to do more with labor unions and that kind of thing, and maybe the environment or so forth. And I'm no fan of the Republican Party, so this is not one party over the other. But the fact of the matter is, it was the Democrats who fought Lincoln, who wanted, the Democrats in the North wanted to make peace with the Confederacy so it would have been a separate country like Canada. Can you imagine if the United States was, you know, slavery would have ended at some point. It just would have. But the United States would not have been the great country it is had it been divided, and who knows what else would have happened. Then when they lost the you know, after Reconstruction, everybody in the South were Democrats because it wasn't Lincoln's party, period. Sure. That's how it was up until probably Nixon, you know, along in that era in the civil rights movement. And since the civil rights movement in 1964, just about the whole Black community has voted Democrat. And I wrote a chapter about this in one of my books. It was one of my books about Donald Trump. And the chapter was on Trump's relationship with the Black community and historically what's happened. Every single Jim Crow law, every single one, was passed by a Democratic legislature and signed by a Democratic governor, period.
Yes.
And the Republicans don't have a wonderful history, but no Republicans did that. But yet the Democratic Party gets a get-out-of-jail-free pass, and I don't understand why.
I don't understand why either, but I'm fighting to make sure that they don't, and I'm exposing the truth. You know, as I said in the beginning, you know, that many Blacks are more Democrats than they are Christian, and some are more Republican than they are Christian. I say that all the time. But the issue here is the fact that Lyndon B. Johnson said that he would have these niggers, I'm quoting him, voting for the Democrat Party for the next 200 years. How did he do it? He incentivized the single parent family. In the 40s and the 50s, the Black marriage rate rivaled that of whites. But by the time we get to 2020 and 2023, we see today that 80% of Black homes are led by a single parent. But during the 40s and the 50s, 80% of Black homes were led by two parents. And so they incentivized what is called the welfare state. He found creative ways to get the Black man out of the home. And then in 1973, we come along with Roe v. Wade, where we're not simply incentivizing the removal of the father from the home. We're now incentivizing women killing their children. And so many of these things have done a number on the Black community. And I am a champion for truth. And I'm laboring to make sure that I fight against this false narrative and this message that's being pushed to Black America. Many Blacks lost their minds in 2020, you know, after the death of George Floyd. You know, that was politicized. They found creative ways to make Blacks believe that America was a racist nation and that we should hate law enforcement and we should defund the police and all of these things. The death of George Floyd was exploited. The DEI business ballooned to $3.4 billion after the death of George Floyd.
Wow.
There is big money, Steve. There's big money to be made off of race baiting and race hustling. And for far too long, Blacks have been duped and lied to. That's why in my next book, I will address many of these issues that go overlooked. I look forward to releasing that book probably the mid part of June of 2024. I want this book to be an answer to many of the lies. I want to expose the truth. You know, I don't get my talking points from the DNC or the RNC. I get my talking points from the B-I-B-L-E, from the Bible.
And I noticed you quoted the book of Galatians. You know, this is more than we can deal with in a short podcast. And I want to get back to where we started with it. I'm going to have to invite you back because I think this is just so very important. The thing is that the Democratic Party, which is why I left the Democratic Party at some point, it's because they have embraced all these anti-God things. Now, the Republicans are not much better, but at least they give lip service to it. You know, the Democrats wanted to take the word God out of the platform, if you'll remember that. And they've embraced, all of this sexual revolution stuff, which yes. now is showing up in the schools with Pride Month and everything else. And, It's not all the Republicans. A lot of them are Republican in name only, but the ones that are speaking up against it, and there are some. But let's get back to the church. The church should be the conscience of our nation. And I liked your T-shirt that you had where it was God is greater than the government. You That's had it right. kind of in code there. And yes. it is. God is greater. But in our culture, it's almost like God doesn't count. And you're just a religious bigot or something if you even quote the Bible. Yet the Bible is the word of God. God's truth is going to prevail no matter who's in office or whatever. So, you know, this stuff's been going on for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. When I was in university in the 70s, all yes. this nonsense was on the university campus. But now it's just like everywhere, even in the elementary schools. And even in stores and brands, like I referred to earlier with Target and Bud Light, it's just like everywhere. But when they go after the children, and I saw a clip, it must have been on YouTube, of a gay pride parade in New York where they were yes. saying, we're queer, we're here, and we're coming after your children. I yes. heard it with my own ears. Now, yes. some commentators say, well, they were joking or wasn't exaggeration. I don't believe that. I believe that's the agenda. And when they get into the schools and teach transgenderism as an option and have these books in the library, you know, it's like a step too far. And there are mothers who are stepping up too, but you're one of the few pastors that's who've right. had the intestinal fortitude, let's say, to go up to the microphone and quote the word of God and quote truth and even confront people by name.
That's right.
And ask them why they're doing it. So what response are you getting? Are you getting any shift at all? Are you encouraging other pastors to speak up? What's happening?
I'm starting to see more pastors speak up around the country. I'm also starting to see more men speak up. You know, the reality is, you know, women, our mama bears, they are always on the front lines engaging. But today, many of our men have sacrificed their voice. Men are neutered. They are afraid to speak up, you know, for the sake of toxic masculinity and not being labeled of being such. Men aren't speaking up, you know. So if a man speaks up, he's labeled as having toxic masculinity. If he's more reserved and quiet, they call him a beta male. And so men are just confused. They are perplexed. And so what I've seen is that more men are starting to speak up at school boards around the country. You know, I believe it's probably increased by 200% the number of men who are now being vocal at school boards. But the work is not over. It's not done. And so I am seeing men respond, but I would like to key in on a particular school board address that I gave in Asheville, North Carolina, which is known as the wokest and bluest city in North Carolina. People up there are just nuts. They've lost their minds. All right. I spoke at that school board and I talked about a book entitled It's Perfectly Normal. It's a book allowed for children ages 10 and up. And the book gives Playboy magazine a run for its money. It's just a terrible, nasty, pornographic book. It's not soft core porn. It's hardcore porn. And there was a superintendent who had just taken the position in Asheville to lead that school district. 7 days later, he resigned and would not go back to Asheville and finish out his contract. I believe that that was a triumph. I believe that my message convicted him to the point. And, you know, his mother and his father was there that day. I made sure that I even mentioned his name in the unedited version of that message. And he resigned. And I think that's a triumph. That's moving the needle. That's showing us that, you know, there's still some good people who are out there working in education who want to do what's right by our children. But we know that before Christ comes, there will be a falling away. And that falling away would not only take place in the marketplace, it would take place in the church.
And so that's absolutely right. And we can see that happening throughout history.
Yes.
And then God raises up a remnant and we kind of go through it again. But yes, as I've said many times and written about, none of us chose to be born now.
Yes.
In fact, someone said the only thing you can't change now, because you can supposedly change your gender or your race, the only thing you can't change is who your parents were and the time that you were born.
Yes.
And God put us here. And, you know, the Bible speaks to Christians of all times that we have to occupy till he comes.
Yes.
And to some extent, the kind of life we live is based on the kind of government we have. You know, the Bible says to pray for our government so we can live quiet and peaceful lives.
Yes.
And if our children are being indoctrinated and no one is speaking up, it's like we're just giving up to the other side. So hopefully something is beginning to shift. And of course, as the elections are coming up next year, we're going to have to vote a lot of these people out of office. And that has happened in some places. We saw it happen in Virginia when this got so nutty.
Yes.
So, you know, we're going to have to wrap this up pretty soon because our time is up. But I'm going to ask you to come back and let's do a follow-up because there's so much more that we could discuss. Perhaps we can discuss the other video that we didn't have time to show. But I want to go ahead and give you the last word on this segment, and then we'll end this, and I will invite you back to my podcast again because I have so much respect for you, and you have a huge platform, but I'm glad to give you the platform that we have here because I want to encourage other people to stand up. And I've seen over the years that I've been a journalist covering the Christian community that a lot of leaders have to be kind of given permission to do this by other leaders that they respect. And I believe that you're giving other leaders permission. Now you have the last word.
Well, I thank you so much for having me on, Stephen. For those of you who want to support the work that I'm doing, you can go to erasedbook.com. That's E-R-A-C-E-D, book.com. There you can get a copy of my new book that was released in October. I'm working on a new book also for June of 2024. However, I want to leave you with this. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it gives us the climate of the last days. It says, "This know also that in the last days, dangerous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." From there, there are several other characteristics of the last days and the end times. As we see the self-love of man, as we see the self-mutilation of man, as we see the self-censorship of man, we know that we are approaching the coming of the Lord. So I say to you, those of you who are spirit-filled, who aren't ashamed to be spirit-filled, I say to you, don't self-censor yourself. Don't be filled with self-centeredness, or don't seek for self-aggrandizement, but deny yourself. The Spirit of Christ and the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, dwells upon us when there is a self-denial. Christ even displayed self-denial in the fact that he did not want to go against God's will in dying on the cross. He wanted the cup to pass from him initially, but he was willing to drink from that bitter cup. I say to you that as we approach the coming of the Lord, will you drink from that cup, or will you shy away from your responsibility? We are called to contend for the faith. Go forward and contend for the faith with the Spirit of God.
Well, thank you. We're almost out of time. I'd like to remind my viewers and listeners to subscribe to the Strang Report on YouTube and Rumble and on your favorite podcast player. You can sign up for my Strang Report newsletter delivered to your inbox every Tuesday by going to stevestrangbooks.com and sign up on the bottom of the page. And I want to encourage you to tune in again. We're going to continue this dialogue next Tuesday. And I think this is very important. Thank you for one of the best interviews I've ever had. God bless you. Continue to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for watching. Tune in again for another episode of the Strang Report. God bless you.
In an upside-down world, there is only one way to stay grounded. Life is full of twists and turns, successes and setbacks. How can you reach your God-given potential and achieve your dreams? With over four decades of reporting on the move of the Holy Spirit around the world, Stephen E. Strang has firsthand experience of how the Holy Spirit has led him on a remarkable journey of faith and a successful life. In his new book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World, he will invest his true life lessons into the hearts of readers as he reveals his secrets to having a successful life led by the Holy Spirit. Go to booksbystevestrang.com to pre-order your copy today.